You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 podcast.
And the second hour is live. Thank you so much for being here on a Monday afternoon, the day after a big day in college basketball. We're talking about a number of things. We'll even veer off to football here in a couple of minutes. Let's head to Frank next in Alabama. Hello, Frank.
Good afternoon, Paul. I was just shocked at Alabama's basketball team being the number one in the nation for the first time was not the lead story this morning for your show, rather than the basketball coach at Ole Miss.
Well, Frank, it was the very first headline we showed. Now our guest was talking about Ole Miss because that was breaking news, while Alabama was named the number one team in the tournament last night at 5 o'clock.
But I still think it should have gotten some prime coverage today, since this is the first time the basketball team's ever achieved this gold, and it's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, it is, Frank. It is quite an accomplishment. But we are in the news business, and the story was what? It was the first story we talked about, and it's. Let me think. Let me do the math. It was 18 hours. In our rearview mirror, and the other story was literally just breaking out. I mean, I realize you're an Alabama fan, and I think everybody's proud of Alabama and thrilled to see the accomplishment. But you know, our goal here is to come on the air and try to get to the very latest news. And I'm not sure what else we could have added to the Alabama story that we're not going to be talking about for the next 3 weeks. But thank you for the call anyway. ESPN just hired that guy, by the way, to be one of our bosses. He found something wrong with the show, and he got the job. Chris is up next. Hey, Chris, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Hey, how you doing, sir?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. This is Chris from Alabama.
Well, thank you.
Mr. I-Man's favorite caller. The gentleman that called earlier from North Carolina, I believe the Alabama fan.
Yeah, Logan.
Yes, sir. I can't agree more about what he talked about the Brandon Miller situation. You can't watch an Alabama game anymore. I think maybe the last seven games, I think the Alabama's play, that ESPN is just rubbing it in the faces. But I actually think Brandon is actually up to his game during this time. The team seems to be not playing.
Chris, I agree with you. And by the way, Earl, I believe very strongly that the story needed to be covered. And it was a gravely serious story. It still is. But it happened on January 15th, and we are now at March 13th. And it does not, by the way, CBS aired yesterday, I agree, but that's only because that 10 million people were watching that show. But they're not the only ones. I mean, this story is being beaten to death by many, many people. And I mean, I'm going to read this to you in a minute because I don't want to act like I just rolled out of bed and don't know anything about the journalism world and how people think. I've been part of that my entire life. But there comes a point when you have to be more realistic. And this big story over the weekend, I don't know if you saw it or not, but I'm mentioning it in context. Two guys went to the Alabama game, I believe on Friday or Saturday. And on the back of the shirt, it said, I'm trying to, what was on, oh, the front of the shirts said Go Oats, which is, you know, you've seen that shirt a lot. And on the back of the shirt, it says, killing our way through the SEC in 23. Now, obviously, I'll go ahead and say it. I mean, the guy that, I mean, no, nobody in their right mind would do that, except these two guys.
Right.
And you know, they were rude to reporters and all that. And the front of the show said goats, excuse me. And, you know, with the script A. And so I think they were, I don't think they were allowed in. And that's a whole First Amendment conversation that we can save for other people. But how do, tell me this, how do two people wearing a shirt represent a fan base of millions of people? Can someone explain that to me? Because that's, it's like I started getting tweets from people going, typical classless. I mean, there's no more classless fan base in the SEC than Alabama. You know, what are we doing here? And that's when I finally just have enough and my head is about to blow off.
Yeah, you got two boneheads that do something just very idiotic.
But here's my argument, though, Chris. It's not – these two guys are irrelevant until what happens next.
Right,
I don't mean to
right.
you know, have, teach the class here with the Socratic method, but what? How do I know about that? Yeah, I was at the game on Thursday on Friday when Alabama played. I didn't see it. How did I find out about it Saturday? Can you answer me that question?
Through social media?
Exactly. Exactly. And by the way, it was a very popular, the picture got millions of views because that's the world. And I do not want to act like I'm not part of the world. I am. But this is going to be every bonehead that goes to an Alabama game and Thursday and Saturday's games will be in Birmingham. So that just invites that many more
yeah.
people to roll in off the street and do something stupid. And if you're a reporter for some outlet, do you disseminate the information or do you ignore it? I frankly am sick of it all, and you're sick of it all, but
yeah.
that's not going to happen because it gets hits, it gets page views, and that's really where we are. So Alabama fans can be upset, and they are upset about what Gumbel said yesterday. And my gut feeling on Greg Gumbel, don't want to act like I know too much here because I really don't, but I know him. He's a reasonable guy. I think somebody wrote that for him. I think he read it just like it was written. And any basketball fan in America knew Alabama was going to be the number one seed the second they wrapped up the tournament and then Houston lost. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's check in with Mark in New Jersey. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Excuse my voice, but I was in Nashville all weekend for all three Alabama games. And, you know, Paul, I want to jump on the Brandon Miller stuff. And you made a comment earlier. You said that the story had to be told. And you're right. It had to be told. My son's a junior in Alabama, and, you know, I was out there the night that actually happened. We happened to be at that game. But my point of the story is the story did have to be told, but now when are we going to tell the facts that actually came out after this about, you know, Brandon Miller brought the gun? Yeah, he did. Never knew what was in this bag. It just happened to be in his car all night. How Brandon Miller supposedly blocked that car in from moving. That never happened, because if that happened, Paul, he would be in jail as an accomplice to murder. Yeah, and I know the media, they want the hits, but this is a 19-year-old kid with such a great upside that you're really getting the hits for. And just to top it off, did you see the Javon Quinterly interview over the weekend?
I did not, no.
When they asked him if they asked him about the game on Friday, and one of the questions after that was, do you own a gun?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. By the way, there was a reporter. Hold on, Mark. There was a reporter
Sure.
Who was the reporter with? Was it AL.com? I can't remember. Yeah, there's actually a sports columnist in Birmingham who asked, I believe, everybody at the tournament if they owned a gun or not.
Oh my God! But
yeah,
you know,
he said I was not in the room, but I was in the room shortly after a press conference, and one of the officials told me, and he identified who it was, and I'm not going to mention his name. Everyone in Alabama knows who he is, and good for him. And he asked asked everyone in that room, do they own a gun? Now, by the way, I'm not going to get into Second Amendment rights, but I believe if you own a gun or not, or whether you don't, it's a private matter. I don't think it's a public matter at a basketball news conference.
Yes, and Paul, I want to give kudos to Greg Byrne, because that interview he did, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, after all of this, he stood firm. He stood by the facts, and he backed Brandon Miller. And in a society where we're getting away from defamation of character, we're starting to get back into that. Because I pray that Brandon Miller's father can actually sue these people at some point that are destroying a young man's career.
Let me explain. I mean, I'll explain defamation later, but you have to be able to prove you're ruining their career before you can claim damages in a defamation suit. Jim is up next.
Tell me, you've been around a while. I'm thinking about this, and I'm just simply putting it out the best I can. First of all, nobody on earth in a living body other than one man was a son of God, was perfect. None of us are perfect. All right, that's a fact. We know that, unless a moron wants to argue that. That's a fact. Now, here's what I want to get at. Tell me this does not resemble in teetotal, the way they've treated Donald Trump for things that he did wrong, but they want to smear the hell out of him, and they've done that. So now they found a way to smear an Alabama ball player with no facts, just because he was where he was or whatever happened. And same with Trump about the women. It's all a smear deal. Is any truth to what I'm saying? I mean, you tell me.
Jim, I know is in my entire history of covering sports, which encompasses a long time, I would never ask a player at a public press conference if they owned a gun or not. It is simply not an appropriate question. If you want to do it privately, that's your business, but it is not a question to be asked publicly.
Well, now here's what I didn't mean to get into that part of it, because obviously you own that part of what was said there. I'm not talking about that. Just clear your head of that. I'm talking about the whole situation concerning Brandon Miller being smeared for what he did, or just being smeared because of who he is and who he plays for, and because he's a great guy, a great player, and same with a great president. I don't care what you say. Trump was a great president. Now we got a moron in there killing the country. But that's the way these things are now, Paul.
The situation with the former president is way beyond my purview here.
I mean, still, it's very comparable. It's very comparable to what's happening.
You have one person who is not being investigated. He's a witness. He's a material witness in a criminal activity. You got another person who's the subject of, I've lost track of how many grand juries. I think there's a big difference.
You don't say any comparison.
Jim, I'll spare you the with all due respect, because I don't think I hate that phrase. I don't see any comparison between Brandon Miller and Donald Trump.
You don't think both of them are being falsely accused?
I don't know. In Brandon Miller's case.
Let me ask you this, Paul. I'm going to try to get on something you like or agree with. What do you think about Clay Travesty? What do you think about that?
I made a decision when it comes to Clay Travis to let him lead his professional career, and I will lead mine. Thanks for the call. We're up against a break.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Great to have all of you here. And Jill is up next in Tennessee. Hey, Jill.
Hi, Paul. It's so good to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
I'm 97 years old, and I've watched more basketball in the last 2 weeks than probably any time in my life. And it has brought back so many memories to me, because the first basketball that I remember was on a dirt court. And then, when I was in junior high school, we got just a building that was a gymnasium on our school ground, so we got to play on that. Then I went to the senior high school in my county and had a new building with a beautiful hard maple floor, and we started our basketball program. But that happened to be disastrous for us, because in December, Pearl Harbor was bombed.
Oh, my.
And then we were with gas rationing and tire rationing, and the only basketball we got to play was with our classmates inside that gymnasium. And then I went to college immediately after high school. Of course, then we were in World War II, and the same situations continued until 1945. I was still in college, but we only got to play intramural basketball while I was in college due to the war. And I graduated from college in 1946, and I had a degree in health and physical education. And my desire was to teach high school girls health and physical education. But they did not hire women. All of the programs in PE were conducted by usually the football coach or the coaching staff of football. So it was very, very difficult to get a job for a woman. But then my college had a call from the Central High School in Columbia, Tennessee, and they wanted a woman to come in to teach their girls health and physical education. Now, you know, not many of us had cars in those days. So I got on a trailway bus and went 120 miles to Columbia and had an interview with the principal, and he hired me that day. So I went back down at the beginning of school, started my program with my girls, and I was very happy. And one day I had a message that the principal wanted me to come into his office back to school. He wanted to talk to me. I could not imagine why. I went in and sat down across the desk from Mr. W.J. Fields, and he said, "Miss Heisbaker, I want you to coach the girls' basketball team." I said, "Oh, Mr. Fields, I'm not qualified. I don't think I could do that." He looked me straight in the eyes and he said, "I'm not concerned with how many wins you have, but I think these girls need a woman in the locker room with them and on that bus going to play the basketball games." So I was hired, and I got to be
that's fantastic.
A high school girls basketball coach. And I thought
Jillby, we're short on time here, but how long did you coach?
I only taught 2 years because I was engaged to be married to my college sweetheart, and we had to move away because of his job.
Well, Jill, thanks for sharing that story. That was just absolutely fabulous. You take care of yourself at 97. Rick, a few years younger in Southern California. Hello, Rick.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call, Paul. Yeah, just a few decades behind her, but an incredible story. Bless her heart, man. I just hope I can remember that much of my life when I get 97, if I make it that far. Listen, I'm a diehard Bama fan, as you well know, and listening to all this and this nonsense, first of all, I couldn't give you know what other fan bases think of Alabama fans based on two jackasses like that. And first of all, who's to say? Has anybody proven that these guys were actually Alabama fans and not maybe from another fan base just to try to get more and more hassle sent onto the to the Alabama team, players, fans, that sort of thing? It could be two other fan bases, and I'm not going to name names, that are just out there, you know, like, hey, let's do this and just make matters
could be
worse
right.
Who's to say that didn't happen? I mean, if they're going to wear that, they're going to take crap anyway. So why not do it as another fan base? I mean, nobody's proven or I haven't heard.
Rick, here would be my argument against that, because that would mean these people were really smart.
Yeah, and we know that these FCC fan bases, including Alabama,
Rick,
are not always that way.
I think you're reading too many CIA novels.
Yeah, I'm out here in California, so we question everything.
Yeah, the idea that a fan of another fan base would clandestinely try to be an Alabama basketball fan, wow.
And I'm going to leave it at this and let you take other calls, but I'm going to promise you, I'm from a family of a lot of law enforcement. If there was something on Miller that tied him in, trust me, he would be locked up right now. I mean, there's just not enough to show that he had any more involvement other than returning somebody's weapon. If I had somebody's weapon in my car, guess where it's going? Back to the owner. I mean, if he
I'm sure Brandon Miller is thanking his lucky stars too right now that he decided to leave the scene, because had he been there, it would have been more difficult to
absolutely all the evidence is pointing towards, other than him just taking somebody's property back to them, he has no other involvement. I mean,
safe guess. Rick, hey, thanks for the call. Up against the break, we have Blake Topmeyer joining us in a few minutes. We are back with more of your phone calls right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening.
listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back on a Monday, we are going to alter the topic briefly here.
Okay.
Thank you. Wade Cobmari joining us from the USA Today group to talk about who else but Nick Saban back in the news again. The scheduling conflict continues to be a subject of news. And Blake, thank you very much. Great to have you on. So many things to catch up on. Let's get to your latest, talking about what Saban said, squaring that with what Greg Sankey indicated over the weekend.
Yeah, it was interesting. Obviously, in a recent piece with Sports Illustrated, Nick Saban was kind of groaning about what he says are the earmarked rivals for Alabama and a potential nine-game schedule beginning in 2024, those rivals being LSU, Auburn, and Tennessee. But in my recent conversation with Greg Sankey, I thought the commissioner made some important points. Now, Greg was not directly refuting Nick Saban's comments, but I think it's you see them, and it's hard not to link the two of them together. You know, I thought the commissioner made a good point that putting so much focus on who a team's three rivals are sort of ignores the fact that this is a nine-game conference schedule, and I think it's more, I guess, paramount to compare the schedules team to team in the totality of their nine games. In other words, you know, while we might get bogged down by some of this grumbling and comparison of one team's set of rivals versus another, the collection of nine conference games, the commissioner believes, and I believe, are going to be a lot more equitable across the board in terms of competitive balance, certainly than the current structure we have with the division format. And I think really from team to team, as you compare one schedule to the other across nine games, I think you're going to see that the competitive balance is pretty similar from team to team in this format we're talking about.
Blake, I don't know who's doing PR for Nick Saban these days. I know it's not the two of us, but it seems like they ought to refresh, because what seemed like a good idea sitting down with a college football reporter has at least from here boomeranged, because he's gotten nothing but negativity as a result. And I realize Nick Saban likes to be heard, but I know what you said a minute ago about your conversations with Sankey, but how do you think this is playing in relation to Nick Saban around the country? Not that it matters, but it's still part of the narrative right now.
Well, as I wrote, Paul, Nick Saban comes across in his recent groaning as if he's missing the forest for the trees. I mean, if you look at the current construct of the schedule, Paul, I mean, Georgia, for all intents and purposes, gets to waltz to Atlanta. Now Georgia's had the best team in college football the last two seasons, and I'm not trying to belittle what Georgia has achieved by any means. However, if we want to talk about incomparable competitive balance right now, I mean, Georgia every year gets to play Vanderbilt, Kentucky, South Carolina, all those teams from the East, whereas Alabama's in the West. I mean, you would think you would be cheering on the destruction of divisions and this format where you would play every team at a minimum of once every 2 years. You would play your rival every year. You'd play everybody else once every 2 years on a rotating basis. But that's not what we're hearing here. And I think it's, frankly, I think it's flat out false to say that Alabama would have the toughest collection of rivals if they get assigned LSU, Auburn, and Tennessee. I mean, how about Florida, right? I mean, the projection that we've seen for Florida coming from Sports Illustrated, an informed projection, was that Florida would be paired with Georgia, Oklahoma, and South Carolina. You telling me you'd rather face Georgia every year? I don't think so. How about LSU? You know, Brian Kelly was saying, hey, bring them on. We want to play the toughest teams out there, which I think is better PR advice, right? And LSU is earmarked with Alabama, with Texas A&M, and with Ole Miss. I think some of this is recency bias in terms of Tennessee. I mean, Nick Saban and Alabama had their way with Tennessee for, what was it, 14 straight years. Tennessee wins on a last-second field goal to finally end the streak. And now all of a sudden it's as if Tennessee is world beaters and makes this rivalry assignment tilted in a too difficult direction. Well, let's go back 2 years ago when Ole Miss was playing in the Sugar Bowl in that season with Matt Corral. So if you take like recency bias out of this, why does Tennessee look so much tougher than Ole Miss? If we had the 12-team playoff in the last 9 years, the playoff era, Ole Miss would have made the playoffs more times than what Tennessee would have. Ole Miss would have made the playoffs more times than what Auburn would have in the last 9 years. That's the playoff era. So I think it's I don't even think it's correct to say that this collection of three rivals from Alabama would be the toughest assignment in the conference.
But Blake, you've been around long enough to know it's the world according to Nick Saban, and no other world matters. So I know you didn't need me to tell you that, but I'm glad I was able to do it live here. Blake, let me get to another subject. It's official now. We're 25 hours away from a press conference where I'm sure Ole Miss officials will try to address the situation with Chris Beard, like we've heard other ADs and presidents address controversial hires. From your perch, what do you make out of the recent move?
Well, as I wrote recently, I mean, I think this is reaffirmation that in this particular case, Chris Beard's win-loss record outweighs his arrest record. I mean, it was just 3 months ago that Chris Beard was under felony arrest under suspicion of domestic violence. Now, the prosecutor in that case dropped the case in honoring of the fiance's wishes. Chris Beard's fiance had said that she never intended for Chris Beard to be arrested or prosecuted, and the prosecutor dropped the case. And he also said, the prosecutor at that time said, that it could not be proven beyond a reasonable doubt the allegations in this case. However, Chris Beard was fired from Texas regardless of the prosecutor's decision. An official from Texas labeled Chris Beard unfit to be the university's basketball coach at Texas, found his conduct unbecoming. And so this is a warp speed resurrection of Chris Beard's career. And I think, you know, we've seen these cases before, Paul, and no set of circumstances are ever identical, but we've seen these cases where someone has fallen from grace, lost their job because of some missteps, and then resurrected their career. I think if there's any surprise in this case, it's how quickly this happened. I mean, the prosecutor dropped the case, it was last month. Chris Beard was fired from Texas just 2 months ago. He was arrested 3 months ago, and now he's back in Power Five basketball, hired by Ole Miss. So I think the speed with which he's recovered his footing in the aftermath of this may be the only surprise out of any of this. If there's anything else I'm surprised by, Paul, it's that Texas fired him simply because we know the way most athletic departments cover for coaches in these situations. I think Texas did the right thing in making a break in the aftermath of that arrest. But I guess where does the right thing get you? You know, in this case, it gets Chris Beard back on the market and now hired by another SEC school. And of course, we know Texas will be competing in the SEC come 2024.
Yeah, I can't wait for that first Ole Miss at Texas game. Blake, I don't know what to expect tomorrow from the athletic director and the chancellor. I guess maybe in the past we've heard this, seen this so many times before, but what do you expect tomorrow when that news conference begins, which we will have live coverage of here?
Yeah, I think there will be a little bit of pushback. I think the one thing helping Ole Miss in this situation, if they're looking to avoid public relations blowback, is a lot of the attention from the national media right now is on March Madness. And so if you're trying to slip through a hire that may encounter some protest, some criticism, you know, from folks with a big megaphone, I think now is probably the right time to announce that, 48 hours away from the true start of the NCAA tournament which most of us consider to be on Thursday. So yeah, I think there will be a handful of tough questions. But again, I do think that they're going to avoid some of the brightest spotlight and maybe some of the harshest criticism from at least from certain voices, because, as I said, I think all attention right now in college basketball, at least outside of Oxford, is on March Madness. So I think that works to Ole Miss's favor here.
If you had the opportunity tomorrow, what would your question be to either Keith Carter, the AD, or to Chris Beard, the incoming coach?
Well, I think to Keith Carter, it would be, what in your vetting process made you comfortable to hire a coach whose previous employer described him as unfit to be its college basketball coach, a mere 2 months ago? I mean, this is not someone who was fired for poor performance, certainly. Chris Beard's won over 70% of his games in his career. He's been to a national championship game. Now, I think the reality of that, Paul, is, again, wins and losses, a coach's record outweighs so much of this stuff. But I do think that's a question that has to be addressed when a coach's previous employer says just 2 months ago he was unfit to lead and engaged in conduct, unbecoming of a leader in that position. Why does Ole Miss feel comfortable to then hire Chris Beard? And I think for Chris Beard, he's going to have to face questions about what happened that night. I mean, his fiance called 911. He was arrested. There were a lot of allegations in that police affidavit. Police cite Chris Beard's fiance in saying that he choked her, that he threw her off the bed. I think Chris Beard is going to be asked about what happened that night. Whether he will answer, don't know. But I would certainly think he's going to get questions about what exactly happened that night.
Blake Topmeyer with the latest on a number of stories, including the Chris Beard situation. Thank you, Blake. Appreciate it very, very much. That is 25 hours away in Oxford, and Blake asked some very legitimate and fair questions. In the odds of us getting answers, currently in Vegas, we'll give you the money line in just a minute.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome all of you back here. Let's check out John in Ohio. Hello, John.
Hey, Mr. Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
My original question is going to be about Tom Brady. Or, I'm sorry, when LSU won it all in 2017, Joe Brady was their offensive coordinator, right?
Well, Steve Ensminger technically was the offensive coordinator, and Joe Brady in 2019 was the passing game coordinator. Essentially, he worked with the quarterbacks.
Okay. I don't understand why these big schools don't go for him.
Well, let me explain, John, because Brady went to the Panthers in the NFL after that, failed miserably. He's had – where is he? Where did he go after that, to Buffalo or Miami? I can't remember.
I think he's in Buffalo right now.
Yeah, I mean, he has just never really lived up to – he's a quarterback coach of the Bills. I mean, listen, I could be the quarterback coach of the Bills by Zoom.
Hey, Mr. Paul, I seen something the other day. How in the heck are you not the best dressed you are the best dressed ESPN host. I looked up the top 10, and you wasn't even in the top 10.
Well, because I don't try to be. I try to be very.
And I'm not counting the women. I'm not counting the women.
Well, no, I mean,
I'm just counting the men.
I think that most of the top dressed guys at the networks are flashy dressers, and they look like they're going to a post Oscars party. I look like I'm going to work, which I am. Matt is up next in San Antonio.
How are you doing, Ms. Paul? You know what, Paul? I want to ask you a question about the SEC scheduling. Where are we going to go to, Paul? Are we going to go to 8 games? Are we going to say a stupid 8
games? It's going to be 9. It's going to be 9,
games?
Matt. 9.
Okay, so what is it going to be? Is it going to be a 3-3-2 model, or what is that going to be, I'm asking you?
It will be a 3-6 model. So you'll have 3 permanent rivals then 6 rotation.
Okay. Okay, well, my other thing I want to talk to you about is Jim. Paul, you're the most kindest, compassionate, nice person I've ever met in my life. I met plenty, but you talked the cake of being that. And I'm so sorry for you dealing with Jim. Look, Jim, I don't care to hear politics. I don't think anybody else cares to hear politics. Let me ask you an honest question, Paul. Do you agree with everything people say on the show in terms of beliefs or opinions? Or it seems like Jim thinks you're exactly like him in every other way.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.